What is your primary goal in life? What is it that you think about, plan for, research, and spend your time in? What is your primary goal? Are you chasing after treasures in the world? A fatter 401k? A bigger, better house? Saving up the money for a down payment for a house? Or is your treasure in heaven, where thieves do not break in and steal? Is your treasure Jesus Christ? What is your treasure that you seek? What is your primary goal? Listen in as we unpack these questions. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is August 17th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the Israel Bible for the Old Testament and from the King James for the New Testament. Deuteronomy 8, 1-20. You shall faithfully observe all the instruction that I enjoin upon you today, that you may thrive and increase and be able to possess the land that Hashem promised on oath to your fathers. Remember the long way that Hashem your God has made you travel in the wilderness these past 40 years, that he might test you by hardships to learn what was in your hearts, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He subjected you to the hardship of hunger and then gave you manna to eat, which neither you nor your fathers had ever known, in order to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but that man may live on anything that Hashem decrees. The clothes upon you did not wear out, nor did your feet swell these 40 years. Bear in mind that Hashem your God disciplines you just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore, keep the commandments of Hashem your God, walk in his ways and revere him. For Hashem your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and springs and fountains issuing from plain and hill, a land of wheat and barley, of vines, figs, and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land where you may eat food without stint, where you will lack nothing, a land whose rocks are iron and from whose hills you can mine copper. When you have eaten your fill, give thanks to Hashem your God for the good land which he has given you. Take care lest you forget Hashem your God and fail to keep his commandments, his rules, and his laws, which I enjoin upon you today. When you have eaten your fill and have built fine houses to live in, and your herds and flocks have multiplied, and your silver and gold have increased, and everything you own has prospered, beware lest your heart grow haughty, and you forget Hashem your God, who freed you from the land of Egypt, the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its serpents and scorpions, a parched land with no water in it, who brought forth water for you from the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers had never known, in order to test you by hardships, only to benefit you in the end. And you say to yourselves, my own power and the might of my own hand have won this wealth for me. Remember that it is Hashem your God who gives you the power to get wealth in fulfillment of the covenant that he made on oath with your fathers, as is still the case. If you do forget Hashem your God and follow other gods to serve them or bow down to them, I warn you this day that you shall certainly perish. Like the nations that Hashem will cause to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you did not heed Hashem your God. Nehemiah 12:27-13:31. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levi'im, wherever they lived, were sought out and brought to Jerusalem to celebrate a joyful dedication with thanksgiving and with song, accompanied by cymbals, harps, and lyres. The companies of singers assembled from the Jordan plain, the environs of Jerusalem, and from the Netophathite villages, from Beth Hagalol, from the countryside of Gerba, and Azmaveth, for the singers built themselves villages in the environs of Jerusalem. The Kohanim and the Leviim purified themselves. Then they purified the people and the gates and the wall. I had the officers of Judah go up onto the wall, and I appointed two large thanksgiving choirs and processions. One marched south on the wall to the Dung Gate. Behind them were Hoshea and half the officers of Jehudah, and Azariah, Ezra, Meshulam, Jehudah, Benjamin, Shemaiah, and Jeremiah, and some of the young Kohanim with trumpets. Zechariah, son of Jonathan, son of Shemaiah, son of Mattaniah, son of Micaiah, son of Zakur, son of Asaph, and his brothers, Shemaiah and Azarel, Milalai, Gilalai, Mai, Nethanel, Jehuda, and Hanani, with the musical instruments of David, the man of Hashem, and Ezra the scribe went ahead of them. From there to the fountain gate, where they ascended the steps of the city of David directly before them, by the ascent on the wall above the house of David, and onward to the water gate on the east. The other thanksgiving choir marched on the wall in the opposite direction with me and half the people behind it, above the Tower of Ovens to the broad wall, and above the gate of Ephraim, the Jeshanah gate, the fish gate, the Tower of Hananel, the Tower of the Hundred to the Sheep Gate, and they halted at the gate of the prison compound. Both thanksgiving choirs halted at the house of Hashem, and I and half the prefects with me, and the Kohanim, Eliakim, Messiah, Miniamin, Micaiah, Elonai, Zechariah, Hananiah with trumpets, and Messiah and Shemaiah, Eleazar, Uzai, Yehohanan, Malkijah, Elam, and Ezer. Then the singers sounded forth with Jezariah in charge. On that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for Hashem made them rejoice greatly. The women and children also rejoiced, and the rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard from afar. At that time, men were appointed over the chambers that served as treasuries for the gifts, the first fruits, and the tithes, into which the portions prescribed by the teaching for the Kohanim and Leviim were gathered from the fields of the towns. For the people of Yehuda were grateful to the Kohanim and Leviim who were in attendance, who kept the charge of their God and the charge of purity, as well as to the singers and gatekeepers serving in accord with the ordinance of David and Solomon his son. For the chiefs of the singers and songs of praises and thanksgiving to Hashem already existed in the time of David and Asaph, and in the time of Zerubbabel, and in the time of Nechemiah. All Israel contributed the daily portions of the singers and the gatekeepers, and made sacred contributions for the Leviim, and the Leviim made sacred contributions for the Aaronites. At that time they read to the people from the book of Moses, and it was found written that no Ammonite or Moabite might ever enter the congregation of Hashem, since they did not meet Israel with bread and water, and hired Balaam against them to curse them. But our God turned the curse into a blessing. When they heard the teaching, they separated all the alien admixture from Israel. Earlier, the Kohen, Elishav, a relative of Tobiah, who had been appointed over the rooms in the house of our God, had assigned to him a large room where they used to store the meal offering, the frankincense, the equipment, the tithes of grain, wine, and oil, the dues of the Leviim, singers and gatekeepers, and the gifts for the Kohanim. During all this time, I was not in Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of King Artaxerxes of Babylon, I went to the king, and only after a while did I ask leave of the king to return. When I arrived in Jerusalem, I learned of the outrage perpetrated by Elishav on behalf of Tobiah and assigning him a room in the courts of the house of Hashem. I was greatly displeased and had all the household gear of Tobiah thrown out of the room. I gave orders to purify the rooms and had the equipment of the house of Hashem and the meal offering and the frankincense put back. I then discovered that the portions of the Levi'im had not been contributed, and that the Levi'im and the singers who performed the temple service had made off, each to his fields. I censured the prefect, saying, "How is it that the house of Hashem has been neglected?" Then I recalled the Levi'im and installed them again in their posts. And all Judah brought the tithes of grain, wine, and oil into the treasuries. I put the treasuries in the charge of the Kohen Shelemiah, the scribe Zadok, and Pedaiah of the Levi'im, and assisting them was Hanan, son of Zakur, son of Mattaniah, for they were regarded as trustworthy persons, and it was their duty to distribute the portions to their brothers. O my God, remember me favorably for this, and do not blot out the devotion I show toward the house of my God and its attendants. At that time I saw men in Yehuda treading winepresses on the Sabbath, and others bringing heaps of grain and loading them onto donkeys, also wine, grapes, figs, and all sorts of goods, and bringing them into Jerusalem on the Sabbath. I admonished them there and then for selling provisions. Tyrians who lived there brought fish and all sorts of wares and sold them on the Sabbath to the Judahites in Jerusalem. I censured the nobles of Yehuda, saying to them, "What evil thing is this that you are doing, profaning the Sabbath day? This is just what your ancestors did, and for it Hashem brought all this misfortune on this city. And now you give cause for further wrath against Israel by profaning the Sabbath." When the shadows filled the gateways of Jerusalem at the approach of the Sabbath, I gave orders that the doors be closed and ordered them not to be opened until after the Sabbath. I stationed some of my servants at the gate so that no goods should enter on the Sabbath. Once or twice, merchants and the vendors of all the sorts of wares spent the night outside Jerusalem. But I warned them, saying, "What do you mean by spending the night alongside the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands upon you." From then on, they did not come on the Sabbath. I gave orders to the Levi'im to purify themselves and to come and guard the gates, to preserve the sanctity of the Sabbath. This too, O my God, remember to my credit, and spare me in accordance with your abundant faithfulness. Also at that time I saw that Yehudim had married Ashdod, Ammonite, and Moabite women. A good number of their children spoke the language of Ashdod, and the language of those various peoples, and did not know how to speak Judean. I censured them, cursed them, flogged them, tore out their hair, and adjured them by Hashem, saying, "You shall not give your daughters in marriage to their sons, or take any of their daughters for your sons or yourselves. It was just in such things that King Solomon of Israel sinned. Among the many nations there was not a king like him, and so well loved was he by his God that Hashem made him king of all Israel. Yet foreign wives caused even him to sin. How then can we acquiesce in your doing this great wrong, breaking faith with our God by marrying foreign women?" One of the sons of Jehoiada, son of the Kohen Gadol, Elishab, was a son-in-law of Sanballat the Horonite. I drove him away from me. Remember to their discredit, O my God, how they polluted the priesthood, the covenant of the Kohanim and the Levi'im. I purged them of every foreign element and arranged for the Kohanim and Levi'im to work each at his task by shifts, and for the wood offering to be brought at fixed times for the first fruits. O my God, remember it to my credit. First Corinthians 11, 1-16. But I, Paul, would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and that the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, for that is even all one, as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, forasmuch as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a shame to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Psalm 35:1-16. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for my help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am your salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hidden me, their net in a pit, which without cause they have dug for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he has hidden catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto you, which delivers the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yes, the poor and the needy from him that spoils him. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the despoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned to mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourns for his mother. But in your adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yes, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I know it not. They did tear me and chase not. With hypocritical mockers and feasts they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Proverbs 21:17-18. He that loves pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loves wine and oil shall not be rich. The wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous, and the transgressor for the upright. I want to speak to you today from Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I want to begin in verse 7. For Hashem your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and springs and fountains issuing from plain and hill, a land of wheat and barley, of vines, figs, and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land where you may eat food without stint, where you will lack nothing, a land whose rocks are iron and from whose hills you can mine copper. The Israel Bible commentary to verse 8 is the following. A land of wheat and barley, of vines, figs, and pomegranates. The Torah names seven species as the special agricultural products of Eretz Israel. Even today, these seven crops can be seen growing all over Israel. In particular, the pomegranate has always been a symbol of beauty. Its unique shape was a favorite design element, appearing on the priestly garments and the pillars at the entrance to the Beit HaMikdash, the temple, in Jerusalem. And so, I want to now jump to verse 18. Remember that it is Hashem, your God, who gives you the power to get wealth, in fulfillment of the covenant he made on oath with your fathers, as is still the case. If you do forget Hashem, your God, and follow other gods to serve them or bow down to them, I warn you this day that you shall certainly perish. Like the nations that Hashem will cause to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you did not heed Hashem, your God. So this verse is so relevant today. And what can happen is you raise children What can happen is a person can grow up in a family and be raised in a church setting and go to church every week and, you know, live a Christian in a Christian environment in a home, and off they go to college, and then they get their degree, and maybe it's in accounting or engineering or computer science or whatever the degree might be, that go off into a career field, and then they start to get successful and make a lot of money. And buy a house, get married, have a wife and kids. And all of a sudden, that person has forgotten the Lord their God. And they're chasing after money to serve and bow down to it, to make sure they have a big 401k, to make sure they have a big, beautiful house. I warn you this day that you shall certainly perish. Like the nations that Hashem will cause to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you did not heed Hashem your God. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to own a house or to have a big 401k, but in the scheme of things, the grand scheme of things, what is the priority? Has God been made irrelevant? Is God not even a factor in the equation anymore? The thing we have to be so careful of is that when a person becomes successful in the world and they become a homeowner and they have a great lucrative career, that all of a sudden there's just no time for God or the things of God. They're not in church. They're not in the Bible. They're not seeking God at all. And that, my friend, is a dangerous place to be. In Psalm 37, verses 1 and 2, it is written, "Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. For like grass, they soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they soon wither." And in Psalm 49, it goes on to say regarding the wicked who are wealthy. Starting in verse 1, "Listen to this, all you people. Pay attention, everyone in the world, high and low, rich and poor. Listen, for my words are wise and my thoughts are filled with insight. I listen carefully to many proverbs and solve riddles with inspiration from a harp. Why should I fear when trouble comes, when enemies surround me? They trust in their wealth and boast of great riches. Yet they cannot redeem themselves from death by paying a ransom to God. Redemption does not come so easily, for no one can ever pay enough to live forever and never see the grave." Those who are wise must finally die, just like the foolish and senseless, leaving all their wealth behind. The grave is their eternal home, where they will stay forever. They may name their estates after themselves, but their fame will not last. They will die just like animals. This is the fate of fools, though they are remembered as being wise. But as for me, God will redeem my life. He will snatch me from the power of the grave. So don't be dismayed when the wicked grow rich and their homes become ever more splendid. For when they die, they take nothing with them. Their wealth will not follow them into the grave. In this life, they consider themselves fortunate and are applauded for their success. But they will die like all before them and never again see the light of day. People who boast of their wealth don't understand. They will die just like animals. So that's a good reminder if you happen to be around other people, whether it's coworkers or family members or neighbors, who kind of rub your nose in their wealth and are a bit arrogant and proud and talk about their home like it's a castle, and maybe you're a renter or live in something very modest or humble. Remember these words that I shared with you today from Psalm 49. And also remember the verse from Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 18. Remember that it is Hashem your God who gives you the power to get wealth in fulfillment of the covenant that he made on oath with your fathers, as is still the case. And if you do forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, such as the god of money, the god of chasing after a house, the god of chasing after a big 401k, if that becomes the preeminent primary focus and source and goal, then it is an idol of the heart. If you follow other gods to serve them or bow down to them, I warn you this day that you shall certainly perish. Remember that we have an eternal soul, that we're going to spend eternity after we die, either in heaven, where there's light and love and beauty and truth, or hell, where it's torment and torture for all eternity forever. So, be about the Father's business, keep your focus on Him, and remember Jesus is your treasure. Don't chase after treasures of the earth. Chase after Jesus, who is the ultimate treasure.